You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
Yo, hap. Happy birthday, AJ. What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. I don't know what that was. What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? There was no, like, really, like, I didn't really, like, stretch it out. It was more just like an outburst.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
It was different. It's a great episode of the podcast today. It is our 98th episode. Yeah, wow. Did I get that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's our 98th episode. We're almost at 100, but today we have a very special guest. We have the man, the myth, the legend, AJ Mitchell. AJ, say hello to everybody.
What's up, guys? I'm glad to be back. It's been a while.
It has been a while, man.
Since before I went to school.
It has been a long time.
It's been a long time.
So 98, right?
98 what?
Episode?
98, yeah.
Yep.
98. Wow. 98. If you guys don't know, since the last time AJ's been on, a lot's happened. He's graduated Bible school, and now he is the youth director at our Wolcott campus, Impact Wolcott. AJ, we'll have to have you on to like do like a podcast teaching sometime. Mm-hmm. We'll have to have you on for that.
Amen.
We're also happy to have him today for a very special segment.
Mm.
Because it is time to
rate that crumble cookie.
Here we go.
He hopped right in as if he was always here.
He's like a security system. He's always there. Okay.
I believe in you, but good luck. We decided you're 3 for 8, right?
No, you don't believe in me. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
A little sealish.
I didn't even tell the people why I'm actually on today.
This freaking thing, peanut butter Snickers.
Oh!
Wow!
Bro, what a lineup.
What a lineup, but I just knew it.
You did know it.
And
good
I didn't
job.
Want to talk myself out of it.
Good job.
Because I feel like that's
proud
a kind of like a problem
You've been
a little
doing
bit.
That.
Proud of you.
I looked at it. I said, I figured I'll do it after.
Sure. No, it's great.
I'll do it after. Caramel shortbread, I just felt like we've been having a lot of shortbread type cookies recently, so you didn't go with caramel shortbread. And I also kind of feel like it was a good option, but it's not the option. You're not going to do any of the other ones, obviously. Birthday cake with Oreo would have been my second. Here's the thing. Even as I'm talking it out loud, if I didn't just go with my gut, I might have somehow found myself at the Oreo one.
It looks good.
It looks great, but peanut butter, man.
With
how
Snickers,
could it not be?
See,
with
it's with Snickers?
With Snickers.
Oh, that's elite.
I texted Ben because he told me. He told me which one he got, and then you texted me to be on, and I was like, oh, well, you should have gotten the birthday cake one. But it was too late.
If I actually, that might have swayed my answer if I already knew ahead of time.
Yeah. I was actually going to say we should give him a hint and say that you got it after.
Dude.
I was beyond it.
I'll be honest with you.
That was good.
I'm happy I got it right. The birthday cake's probably is probably a better cookie. Am I bugging or no?
I think it, I don't know, peanut butter with Snickers?
Snickers.
What's the frosting?
Because, look, I go to Dairy Queen a lot.
Yeah,
we know.
And buy one, get one free right now if you want to come. My favorite one is peanut butter Reese's Pieces with Snickers.
Okay.
So I have high hopes.
The frosting is a caramel buttercream.
Oh.
Sounds good.
That's interesting.
All right, we'll see. Let's just try this. I'm done yapping.
I'm happy to be here.
You go. Birthday boy. Yeah, AJ can get the cookie, too, if he likes it. Too bad AJ's allergic to peanut butter.
Yeah, it's almost like I already cut a piece for you. But, yeah.
My bad.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's almost like you did.
I'm a mess.
If you like the cookie, you can have it.
Oh, I appreciate it. I just smelled the mic instead of the cookie.
I'll be honest with you, I'm not digging the smell.
Oh.
It smells like peanuts that have expired.
No, it smells like peanut butter and Snickers.
No, it smells like straight up peanuts.
Nah, I'm not into it. Okay, let's go. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. That was a little zesty, my bad.
There's a party in my mouth.
Mmm.
And everybody's... Never mind.
It's good.
Yeah, I think it's good.
What do you think I'm going to say?
I don't know, probably something negative.
That's insane!
Just judging by your, you know, your smell test and, I don't know.
The peanut butter was a little underwhelming.
Think so? I mean, I think that it's the cookie that's the actual peanut butter, right? And then it's the Snickers on top with the caramel buttercream. I feel like I tasted everything. And I feel like now, as it's sitting, I'm tasting the most the peanut butter afterwards. What's your question?
I don't like that there's peanuts in it.
What?
There's a peanut.
You didn't it's get a Snickers.
Peanut? That's not Snickers.
Snickers have peanuts, brother.
Yeah. But, like, that's a whole peanut.
Dude, you're 22. what do we have going on here? You're not 86 and you forgot what's in a Snickers.
Yeah, but like a Snickers has tiny pieces. That's a whole peanut. Let
me see. It is a whole peanut.
Look.
But you know, I'm not gonna give it a demerit.
I'm not gonna go crazy about that. Like that's not like I'm pretty like the sure there's factor. Whole peanuts in Snickers, or at least halves.
I think halves. There's, yeah.
I don't like that was your assessment.
I just didn't like how I got, like, I don't know, maybe the peanut in my bite overtook everything else.
Like I don't know why that was like, funny.
Like, you're a grown adult.
I am.
It'll be all
but
right.
But, like, I'm okay. But, like, it just wasn't.
It's giving no, my potatoes it. And meat are touching. I'm just kidding.
How about eggs and tuna?
Eggs and tuna. Next week, we're going to have eggs and tuna. No, I'm just kidding.
Eggs and tuna crumble cookie?
I'm going to make foul. It. Peanut butter cookie on the bottom. Tuna and eggs on the top. The peanut butter's hitting me a little bit more, but it's more peanut than peanut butter.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I can get behind that.
I still like it. It's just that, like, here's the thing, guys. I'm just going to be real. If I was eating this, like, just, like, casually and not really, like, thinking too much, I would just be like, yeah, it's a good cookie. Like, it's really good. I like it. But because it's right that crumble cookie, we have to, like, dissect the cookie. You know what I mean? Like, really get into it.
Right.
I like the frosting ratio on there. I think it's nice.
I do, too. I kind of feel like it's good, and I feel like I got every flavor. Like, I feel like sometimes when a cookie has a lot going on, you don't get everything.
That's
but
fair.
I like tasted the Snickers. I tasted like a little bit of caramel, and I got the peanut butter. It's I don't know. It's not like absolutely blowing me away.
No, it's not blowing me away. And I don't know why. Why is it not blowing me away?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out because it should be better than it is.
Yeah, I just had really high hopes.
It let
me down.
I kind of feel like it's because that super strong peanut butter taste is not there. I really feel like that has something to do with it. I could be wrong. My flavor profile might just be off.
But like they balance the flavors pretty well because you tasted everything.
Okay. I know what I'm going to give this. Do you guys know what you're going to give it?
I do.
I feel like yours is going to be
can
way
we
too
ban,
low.
Should we ban?
I think you guys are going to be higher than me.
Anything but 0.5?
Huh?
Should we ban anything but 0.5?
Sure, I guess.
Because I'm just thinking about it. But, like, is there cases where, like,
oh,
maybe,
there are definitely cases.
I feel like we're not banning
it. As soon as you get over 9, there, like, you have to.
Nah, we can't ban it. We can't ban it. No. Okay. On the count of 3, we'll give a rating, but I want to make sure everybody has theirs locked in.
I have mine.
All right. Hold on. Wait, I just. All right. 3, 2, 1,
7.5.
Whoa. There's no way that progression actually
6.
Just took 5, place.
6.577.5.
6.577, 7.5. All right. This is a 3-person ranking. I feel like that's a good range.
Yeah.
Solid range. It kind of accurately represents the cookie.
It's a 7.
Right. And it accurately represents the cookie.
Yeah.
Because the cookie is no, I don't think, I don't know if anyone would give this higher than an 8.
I kind of agree. I couldn't be more of like a peanut butter guy.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
And this just isn't above a 7.5 for me. I couldn't give it an 8. I couldn't.
The fried ice cream was better last week. I gave it an 8. Hmm. That was part of my rating system, was that I was recalling that I gave the fried ice cream an 8. Hmm. And I liked the cookie the week before better, and I liked the cookie the week before that better, and I liked the cookie the week before that better.
Have we had a really bad one yet?
The beginning. The early one?
I don't remember what it was. I kind of want to have a
We
really...
said that we wouldn't eat half of them. Or we wouldn't
eat... Oh, the cheesecake?
Yeah, that wasn't right? that good. But then, no, there was another one.
I don't know.
We'll have to go back and look. Guys. For the 100th episode, we have something special happening for the crumble cookie.
Yep, we do.
I'm excited.
I'm also
AJ,
excited.
Any final analysis?
I don't know. Maybe the peanut got me low. I was underwhelmed.
No, I don't hate your rating.
I
was going to be mad if it was like right around a 5.
Yeah, I...
But...
Yeah, I'm...
No,
I might
fair.
Try another bite without the whole peanut. And I'll update them with maybe a higher rating. But the peanut got me out. I don't know.
I'll be honest.
It really did.
I'll be honest with you. The question is, would I eat the whole cookie? Yeah, but like, I wouldn't be super happy with it afterwards.
I would not eat this whole thing.
So it's not a 5.
You guys would eat this whole thing?
Yeah.
So would you. Don't lie.
I don't know.
Don't lie on the podcast. This is holy ground.
If this whole thing was filled with peanuts, I'm not eating it. But I'm going to take another.
There was one peanut,
dude. Okay, let me just... Yeah, exactly. So if there was more peanuts...
I want you to pick up that peanut and eat it right now. Elephants like peanuts.
You have, like, a blizzard a day. You're not eating this whole thing.
Yeah, dude, this is just lies. That's what it is. This is what it is. We're all lying here. I wouldn't encourage you to go. If you're going to go to Crumble Cookie this week, this would not be the cookie I encourage you to get.
No, probably get the Oreo one.
Try the Oreo one. Try it out. What about the actual cookie itself? I don't think the cookie itself texturally is that good.
It's crumbly, which I guess makes sense.
I kind of like the cakiness.
It was softer.
Yeah.
Is that?
I like other cookies better. I don't know.
It's fine. It's good.
Look.
All right.
The
well,
bite without the peanut was a lot better.
You need to go eat that other peanut.
The other half.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Rate That Crumble Cookie. And I'm excited to see you again next week for it. Now to the podcast teaching. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the teaching part of the Uncanceled Podcast. I hope you enjoyed a very special rendition of Rate That Crumble Cookie with the one, the only, AJ Mitchell. It's his birthday today. We're happy to have him. And we had a good time. You should go back and watch it if you didn't, or if you don't care about that, then welcome to the podcast teaching. Anyway, today I want to talk to you about something titled The Fall of Humanity. I got hit with a little bit of... with a little bit of that peanut right there. If you didn't watch the crumble cookie, it doesn't make sense to you. But anyway, the fall of humanity. Something that I realized teaching a Bible class at a Christian school, Faith Prep, if you don't know our Christian school, Faith Prep, I teach Bible for 9th through 11th grade. Something that I realized is that some foundational teachings have been missed. Some foundational teachings have been missed. When you teach very simple Bible doctrines to people in today's society, it is remarkable to me and unfortunate when I see that people are completely ignorant about basic facts or basic doctrines of the scriptures. And by the way, the word ignorant, just to make this be clear and established, is not a word that I mean to insult anybody with by saying, people use the word ignorant as if it's like a rude word. Ignorant just means you don't know. And ignorance is not a bad thing as long as we're aware that we're ignorant so that we can learn and grow. But it's unfortunate when I see people who are ignorant of Bible doctrines. And unfortunately, the reason for that is because they're not taught as much in church anymore. Church is more, unfortunately, it's more commercialized in America these days. And it's more just about, it's more just simply about, you know, talking about things that are going to help somebody day in and day out, which is great. And that's awesome. We should teach those things and we should talk about helping individuals and stuff. But there's also a place in the Church of Jesus Christ to teach Bible doctrines, very simple things. And one of those simple things is the fall of humanity. The fall of humanity. Many Christians don't fully understand the fall of humanity. If you talk to most Christians and anyone that really is a genuine Christian, they know that they must receive Christ. They know that Christ must be their Savior. But then the question of why begins to come into play. Why? Why must I actually receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? And if we're going to answer that question adequately, what we have to do is we have to go back to the very beginning. And this may seem elementary for some of you guys that are watching. You're like, this is like, you know, something that you would talk about in Sunday school, right? Unfortunately, it has been lost on a generation. Or people, perhaps you might be watching this and you're more newly saved and you haven't gotten this foundation. I want to do teachings like this. And maybe I'll do a couple of these in the coming weeks of just some foundational teachings of the scripture. While we have a need for Christ to be our Savior, we have to understand why we have a need for Christ. Why do we need saving? I think sometimes we take for granted as Christians when we're evangelizing or when we're talking to people about Christ that they understand that they need a Savior. When in reality, many people don't understand why they need a Savior. When I first did our back to school bash last year, I had the opportunity to speak in front of a room of 250 unsaved kids. And as I was speaking, I was challenged with the whys of things. You can't simply just say to somebody, we need a Savior. We have to actually explain why there is a need for a Savior. Why do we actually need saving as people? And the answer is found in the very beginning of the Word of God, and I want to talk to you about that today. The fall of humanity. Here are four basic things to understand about the fall of humanity. Ready? We're going to go. Number one, God created humanity good. God created humanity good. I was teaching this today in my Bible class, and as I'm going to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, I invite you to follow along and join me right now in Genesis 1, verse 26. But as I go there, I want to tell you this. As I was in Bible class today, I was talking about the fall of humanity, and one of my students asked me, they said to me, Pastor Joey, did God create us good or did God create us evil? And that's a really good question to ask because if human beings are capable of such evil, then did God create us good or not? And the Bible actually gives us the answer of how God created human beings. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And I want to stop there real quick. Humanity was created in the very image of God. Now, something that I've heard that has been distorted in our society by some progressive, if you want to call them churches, progressive churches, quotation, or end quotation. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean. Something that you hear in some of those types of places is they will say things like, well, the Bible says, you know, God said, let us make man in our image. So see, what we find here is that God's pronouns are plural, and, you know, that God is identifying, you know, as, you know, an our, and they make it about God's pronouns when they actually don't understand what really is going on here. What is actually going on in this text is when God says, let us make man in our likeness, what he's actually referring to is a doctrine in the Bible known as the Trinity. I won't get into the doctrine of the Trinity. I've actually already done a teaching on this a couple of months ago that I encourage you to listen to. What is the Trinity? A doctrine of the Trinity in which God is three distinct persons, yet he is one God. God is three distinct persons, yet there is one God. It's three in one. If you don't understand the Trinity, if that doesn't make sense to you, go back and watch my teaching on what is the Trinity, and then come back and watch the rest of this podcast. But anyway, God is not saying in this text that he's identifying as an hour or any type of stuff like that. It is simply a reference of the Trinity. So that's one thing to take care of there. But secondly, God created human beings in his image and his likeness. Something that we have to understand is that this does not necessarily mean that we physically look like God. What I mean by that is this. You've seen AJ, you've seen Ben, you've seen me, you've seen my wife, you've seen Evangelist Wesley all on this podcast. We all look very different than each other. The fact that we all somehow still look like God at the same time physically, like, just doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense. When you actually study this a little bit and find out, like, what the Bible actually says in the original language, the Hebrew and such, we actually come to the conclusion and understanding. This is not talking about physical attributes in terms of that, like, me and my dad look alike. Not like that. But the fact that we share things with God, the fact that we share the ability to have a will, for example, a mind, things like that, that we share with God. That's more what the scriptures is referring to when we say that we were made in the likeness and the image of God. However, don't let this burst your bubble if you've used that scripture to tell yourself that you're attractive if a girl rejects you or if a guy rejects you, you know, because they're not attracted to you. And so you've said, well, I'm made in the image of God, so it's okay. Don't let it discourage you, because instead of using that scripture, you can use Ephesians 2:10, that you are God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship. We are still the very workmanship of God, and we are made in his image and likeness, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we look like God the way that I would look like my father. Now, let me encourage you with this. If you were rejected by a guy or girl because of your appearance, perhaps if it's happening regularly, you might want to assess some things that you can do to enhance your appearance, such as take a shower, do your hair, you know, maybe put on some cologne or put on some perfume, take care of some personal hygiene things. We thank God for personal hygiene. Isn't that right, Brother Ben in the back? You know, maybe, I don't know if you're, you know, overweight, and I'm not making fun of anybody that is, you know, maybe go and hit the gym and stuff like that. The Bible does say that man looks at the outward appearance. And I'll tell you what, when I met my wife, my first thing that I noticed was what she looked like. I didn't notice her personality as the first thing I saw. I saw her outward appearance was the first thing I did. First thing I saw. There we go. Let's use right words. And so outward appearance does matter, but that has nothing to do with anything that I'm talking about today. That was just a quick tip for some of you people that are watching that may be single, looking for a special someone. There might be some things, maybe some clothing choices. You know, maybe don't wear an anime costume to school every single day. That's just a little piece of advice. I don't know if anyone is, I don't know how people are going to feel about that. Listen, if you like some anime, we could talk about that on a different, maybe I should do a podcast. Should you watch anime? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But maybe you should put on some nicer clothes that, you know, not expensive necessarily, but some nicer clothes that maybe look better on you and stuff like that. Maybe you should do something like that. Again, this has nothing to do with my podcast. I need to get back to the teaching before I get off track. I'm talking about God making humanity good. God made humanity in his image and his likeness, and we are the very masterpiece of God. Let that encourage you that God made all of creation, but he only made us human beings in his image and likeness. Then verse 26 continues, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This is the authority that God has given humanity from the very beginning, from the foundations of the earth. God has given humanity the highest level of authority over the earth. Why does this matter? There really is an attack on the human identity in America today. And I say America because it's not as prevalent in other countries, although it's starting to become more prevalent in other countries. We see it in Europe a little bit and perhaps in some Asian countries as well. And maybe even in Australia, you might see something like this happening more. They don't tolerate it in Africa too well, which good for them. But there's an attack of the human identity. Human beings were created as the apex, as the highest of authority of all creation. God has given dominion to human beings. Human beings have the highest level of authority. But yet people want to stoop to a lower level of authority by identifying as something other than a human being. Identifying as an animal, identifying as this, identifying as that. Let me encourage you, don't ever stoop down lower than the identity that God has given you, which is a human being, the highest level of authority that you can possibly have. We have dominion over all things. That is the way that God has created it. And let me encourage you, if you're watching this today, and you have a friend that maybe is going through some type of crisis that they're struggling with this, encourage them that they were created for so much more. They were created on the authoritative level of a human being in the very image and likeness of God. Isn't that wonderful? In the very image and likeness of God with all authority. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I'll just read that. Male and female, he created them. I think that point is clear. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. There it is again. Authority for the human being. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And God saw everything, this is verse 31, that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. After God created the animals, the sun, the stars, the plants, all that stuff, after God created that stuff, he said it was good. After he created humanity, he said it was very good. We are the very apple of God's eye, human beings. We were created good. We were not created evil. Some people have an idea of God that he created human beings to be evil and wicked. God did not create human beings to be evil and wicked. God created human beings to be good, to be in his very own likeness and very own image. So God created humanity good. But watch this, point two. God gave humanity something called free will. Free will. Genesis 2, verse 8. I'll show you what I'm talking about. It says, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put a man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight, to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to skip to verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work, and to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, of it, you shall surely die. So I want to stop here for a second. First, God gave a command. God gave a command. God said, you can eat anything you want in the garden, except this tree. And this leads to an interesting question that we have to ask. And it's a fair question. Why did God put the tree in the garden? Why did God put the tree in the garden? It is a very fair question to ask. Because people have said that, well, if God didn't, why would God do that? Isn't God just, you know, isn't God just tempting them by doing that? Isn't God setting them up to fail to do that? Here is why. Very simple. There is no free will without choice. There is no free will without choice. God did not want us to be forced to love him, forced to believe in him, forced to serve him. God wanted us to have a choice. But without options, there is no choice. Without options, there is no choice. If I give my class that I teach a multiple choice question with one option, that's really not a multiple choice question. There's only one option. That's the answer. In the same way, if there is not multiple options, then there is no choice. There is no free will without other options that are there. And God wanted us to have free will. He did not want us to be forced to serve him. Why? Because that's the type of God that he is. He didn't want us to have to be forced. He wanted creation to have an opportunity to choose to serve him or not to serve him. God gave us a choice, and there needed to be other options for there to be able to be a choice. But then look at what verse 18 says, and this is very interesting. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper for him, or fit for him." Then God created women. Why is that an interesting point? Who was there when God gave the command not to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Just the man. The woman was not there. God commanded the man. God told Adam, "You can eat anything that you want in this garden." And the woman was not there. This will matter later on. I'll explain this a little bit further later on, but I want to make a clear point of that. The instruction was given to the man. The woman was not even created yet. I also want to make a point in saying this, although it's not popular to say to them today. In a relation context, a woman is, the wife is to help the man. The wife is supposed to be a helpmate to man. That is how God, that is the original intent of a woman, that God created women to be helpmates to man. Now, does this mean that women can't do great things and mighty things for God? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the woman is actually supposed to be a helpmate to the man. That is how God created it to work. It was not supposed to be that the woman was the one that was the head of the relationship and the man just kind of was like, whatever my wife tells me to do. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the man is the head of the relationship and the woman is the helpmate. That's the way that God has designed things, and I know that that's not popular in today's culture and society, but I can tell you this. In a relationship context, any healthy and successful marriage has that order of things, where the man is the head and the woman is the helpmate, and the man loves his wife and is a protector of his wife and has her best interest in mind. That is the way that a healthy relationship works, and that's the way that God designed it. But okay, we know this. God created humanity good, and God gave humanity a free will. Third, humanity rebelled against God. This is where things kind of get dicey or sad. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Who is this serpent? This is a good question to ask. Some people say it's the devil. And I ask people, how do you know it's the devil? And they're like, well, because, you know, the devil is the one that tempts. That's true. But we actually can have an even stronger proof to that. In Revelation, the Bible refers to Satan as the ancient serpent. And so we actually know that this, we actually can be confident from the scriptures that this really is Satan. And we can assume that it's Satan possessing this this animal that God had made and tempting them. Notice how it was Satan that is going to come and tempt them. It's not God that's going to tempt him. Although God gave them the option, God did not tempt them to fall into it. God did not tempt them because God does not tempt us. But Satan came and tempted them. Satan came and took what God made to be good, which is giving humanity an actual choice to choose him. And the enemy tried to do his best to make it evil. Verse 1 continues and says, "He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" The first way the enemy tries to tempt us, oftentimes the enemy will tempt people with, "Did God really say? Did God really say? You'll be talking to someone, well, does the Bible really say that that's wrong? Something that is blatantly sin. Does the Bible really say that, though? Did God really say this? Does God really say that that's wrong? And if the enemy can get us to question if God really said, if we can begin to question that, then and we can somehow arrive at the conclusion, well, I'm not really sure if he really said that, we can open ourselves up to begin to be open to the idea of sin. So this is the first thing that the enemy says. Did God really say? Did God really say? And then he goes on to say this. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, what's interesting here is that Eve must have somehow gotten the message somehow. Adam must have told her. Adam must have somehow told her, or she must have somehow found out about this command, because like I said before, she was not alive when the command was given. She was not created when the command was originally given. So she must have somehow found out about this. But she responds and she says basically, well, here's what the command of God was. You know, you're saying, did God really say? I'm saying that this is what God said. And Satan takes what Eve says and uses it against her in verse 4. But the serpent said to her, to the woman, you will not surely die. This is how the enemy works. The enemy questions what God says. First, he'll say, well, did God really say? But then he'll add, well, yeah, I know that's what God said, but is that really what he meant? Is that really true? The enemy began to sow a seed of doubt. Is it really true that you're going to die? Because technically, here's the interesting part. There was a level of truth to what the enemy was saying. It was ultimately a lie because he was trying to twist them. What is the level of truth? They would not physically die immediately if they ate the fruit, but they would immediately die spiritually and then eventually die physically because of the fact that they disobeyed God. See, God actually created us. God did not create us with the intention that we are to die physically. That's not the way that God created us. But sin caused us to die. Sin does cause us to die physically, and sin caused us to die spiritually as well. And so, technically, when they ate the fruit, they didn't drop dead right there. There was a measure of truth to what was being said, but it was ultimately a lie. Because they would eventually physically die, and they would immediately spiritually die. The enemy tried to twist what the enemy or what God said. The enemy tried to twist what God said. But watch this. He continues. He places that doubt. You won't die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Something that one of my students asked me that was extremely interesting. Is that, and I was happy that they were thinking critically. I always invite my students to think critically. Something that they asked me is they said, why wasn't even tempting to them? Like, okay, you can eat this fruit. Like, all right. And there's a couple of reasons to that. But one of the reasons is the enemy made it so appealing by saying, you won't die. See, God's actually trying to keep you from something good. This is, wow, that's actually good. That's really good. That's how the enemy will work. The enemy will tell you, well, see, God's telling you not to do this, but really God's trying to keep you from something that's so good. It's so fun. God's trying to keep you from having sex before you're married when you could really just be having fun with a bunch of different people. You could be experimenting. It's so much fun. See, it's fun to go to a party. I know that's God's, you know, God says not to get drunk. Yeah, but God's just trying to keep you from the fun that you could be having. All that temptation going on in our mind. The enemy tries to flip the motives of God, make us question the character of God. This is why the character of God has to be settled on the inside of us. That God is good and his intentions are good and his commands are not meant to be burdensome to us. His commands are meant to be a help to us. And so the enemy tries to flip this right on God's head. Flip it right on, flip the script right there. Two things with this, when he says knowing both good and evil. Here's the thing. He says, you'll be like God. I already read it to you. Humanity was already created in the image and likeness of God. Humanity was already created in the image and likeness of God. They were already created in the image and likeness of God. So he says, you'll be like God. They were already created in the image and likeness of God. Second, he says, knowing both good and evil. Did you know that God never intended humanity to know evil? Because it wasn't until they ate from the tree that they knew something evil. What do you mean? Well, it isn't until Genesis 3:11 that they realize their nakedness and they feel shame. And they feel shame. All humanity knew was good until they received the knowledge of evil from that tree. See, this was the temptation of the devil. It was never the intention of God for it to be like this. But humanity chose to rebel against God. And unfortunately, because humanity rebelled against God, they received the consequences of that rebellion. They received the consequences of that rebellion. See, God said, listen, you can eat from anything except this tree. And if you do eat from from that tree, here's what's going to happen. God didn't make the consequences hidden to them. He told them what the consequences were. But yet they still chose to do it. They fell into that temptation. But here's something I want to point out to you. I want to read verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her. I'm going to get to that in a second. Somebody asked me, do you think that, you know, we would do that if we were in Adam and Eve's position? And I think that part of that answer can be found in the fact that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. The fact that we have all chosen to do things that are sinful before in our life. I think that that even answers our question, that we can try and think of ourselves as high and mighty and think that we would never do something like that. But the reality is that we've all chosen to sin on our own accord. We can't just sit there and say, well, it's Adam and Eve's fault for this whole thing. Yeah, they did sin. Yes, it is their fault that we're in the state that we are. But here's the thing. As human beings, if we can sit here and say that we've never, ever done anything wrong once in our life, we've never sinned, then fine, cast the first stone, just as Jesus said. But I don't think anybody can say this that's listening to this right now. And I know that I certainly can't say that either. And so that's the reality of things, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But listen to this. The entire time that Eve was being tempted, the head, Adam, the man, the one who God gave the instruction to, was just standing there. Just letting his wife get manipulated by the devil. The man was supposed to stand up and say something. The man should have stepped in and said, no, that's not what God said. The man should have stepped up and said something. And this is why this is important to understand. People will say things like, well, it's Eve's fault. Eve was deceived, Adam sinned. Eve was deceived, Adam sinned. Eve was deceived, and she sinned because of it. Adam knew better and sinned. Adam directly received the order from the Lord, and yet he still chose not to follow it. Men that are listening to this right now, be a man. Be a man. Don't be a weak man that sits back Be a man of leadership. Be a man of direction. Don't just sit back. Men are supporting. God speaks to the head and God speaks to the man. And not that God doesn't speak to women either. That's not what I'm saying. But in a relational context, God will speak to the head. God will speak to the head. And the woman will also feel a confirmation in her spirit as well. But God speaks to the head. That is the way that it works. And throughout the entire Bible, that's how it works. When Adam sinned, that's why the Bible says, through one man, Adam, sin entered the world. Through one man, sin entered the world. Sin entered the world through Adam. Adam sinned. The, the sin of humanity is attributed to Adam, not to Eve. Throughout the entire scripture, you'll see that. The sin of man is attributed to Adam, not attributed to Eve. Adam sinned. Adam sinned. And we were all doomed because of Adam's sin. Adam and Eve sinned. In the same way that I'm Italian and my parents can't have a kid that doesn't have Italian heritage, is the same way that Adam and Eve sinned. Therefore, they could not have kids that had an inherited sin nature. So we are now all born in sin, shaped in iniquity from our mother's womb. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The Bible says that the payment for sin or the wages of sin is death. So now because of our sin, we all are destined to die. Just like God said, if they didn't obey his command, they would surely die. It's the same consequence from the beginning. Sin leads to death. They would die. This is the fall of man. This is the fall of man. This is what happened. But here's the thing. The story doesn't end there. God made a way. This is my last point. This is the fullness of the fall of man. We cannot just stop with humanity rebelling against God. Point four, God made a way for humanity. Genesis 3. I'm going to skip to verse I'll just read from 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking through the garden in the cool of day. And the man and his wife hid himself from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. But the Lord called to the man and said to them, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." There was an immediate shame. Sin brings about a spirit of fear and a spirit of shame. That's what sin will do to us. And here's how God responds to that. It says, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?'" Because what happened is that God first looked to the man and said, "What happened?" The man blamed the woman, and God said, "What is this?" And by the way, what a cop-out for the man to blame the woman. The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Here is God's first response to the sin. God responds to sin with judgment, but he also responds to sin with mercy and grace. "Then the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you have done all this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and because your offspring and her offspring." And between... What the heck was that? Anything can happen on the podcast. Verse 15, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." What is this? This is the promise of the Messiah to come. Right from the beginning, when humanity sins, God in his infinite grace and mercy, he decides to say, "I already have a plan to be able to save humanity." And his plan was to send his son, Jesus Christ, to come and die on the cross for our sin. God is so good that from the very beginning of time, he had a plan to rectify the sins of humanity and say, you know what? It's a penalty that nobody can pay for them except for me. I can take it for them. So he came down from heaven and died on the cross for us. This is the gospel. This is why it's so powerful. We deserve to die in our sin, but Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Christ took our sin. Christ took what we deserve, the payment for our sin. And the promise of redemption is there from the very beginning. There was also a penalty for the sin as well in that moment. There was a consequence. They were kicked out of the garden, and there were some other consequences as well that I'm not going to get into, but there were consequences. But there was also a promise of hope and redemption, because that is the God that we serve, a God of mercy and a God of grace. God didn't have to save us, but he chose to save us anyway because he loved us so much. Through one man, sin entered the world, but through one man, Jesus Christ, Hallelujah. The redemption of the world came through him. Amen. Romans 5:17. You can read that. The Bible says that the wages of sin, the payment of sin, is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So while sin should result in death, Christ took our payment. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You could be saved through Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is the crux of what we believe as Christians, that Christ died on the cross, took the payment for our sin, was buried in the ground, and 3 days later rose from the dead. He defeated all that sin. He defeated death for us. And so I want to give you an invitation today. Perhaps you might be watching this and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to do this. If you have a friend that you know maybe doesn't know Jesus Christ, this would be a great podcast to send them for them to be able to understand the crux of the gospel. But this is your moment. This is your time to get right with Jesus Christ. If that's you and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. This prayer is not a magic potion, but this prayer simply expresses what you're feeling on the inside of you right now. Pray this to Jesus. Don't pray it to me. I can't save you. He can. Pray this. Say, "Dear Jesus, today I give you my life. I turn my back on sin, and I put my faith in you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. You were buried in the ground, and you rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place. Thank you, Jesus, for making the payment for my sin. I believe that you died on the cross. You were buried in the ground, and you rose from the dead. I'm a Christian now. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. If you rededicated your life to the Lord, welcome back. But something that's really important, I would imagine that you're somewhat local to this area if you're watching this. If you're watching this, it's very important to get involved in a church. We're right here in New Milford, Connecticut, Faith Church, Wednesday nights at 6:30, Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. I encourage you to come out, get plugged in, get a Bible, start reading it, start in the book of Mark. It will help you, Mark or John. I would recommend Mark and then go to John. If you need anything, feel free to reach out to us. Send us something in the comments. If you're watching this somewhere else in the world, I encourage you, find a church. Find a Bible-believing church. A good church to find would be a church that they say that they're Pentecostal. That would be a great church to find and go to. But amen. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll be back next week. God bless. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.